From the Sky News Centre at 1, a budget airline has crashed in the southern French Alps with all 150 people on board feared dead. The Airbus A320 was operated by the carrier Germanwings and was travelling from Barcelona to Dusseldorf when it came down this morning. Flight tracking data suggests at one point it was plummeting 5,000 feet a minute. Captain Mike Vivian, who used to work at the Civil Aviation Authority, says there's no reason the plane would usually have been flying low over the mountaintops.
These aircraft go well above the Alps. I'd say the only reason you'd be descending in there is if you're going in there as scheduled, like Geneva or Zurich, or you've got a major emergency and you're diverting.
Well, at least 45 Spanish nationals are believed to be on board. Spain's Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy has been speaking to reporters in the last hour.
All I can tell you is that I am very sad, as are many, about this dramatic accident. We're going to do everything we can in our powers to help the families, to give them our support.
In other news, cancer charities have praised Angelina Jolie for going public with the news that she's had her ovaries removed. The actress had them taken out over doctors' concerns they could turn cancerous, having already had a preventative double mastectomy. The progress police forces in England and Wales have made in improving their use of stop-and-search powers has been criticised by their watchdog. Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary made 10 recommendations in 2013 to prevent people being stopped unnecessarily, particularly those from black and ethnic minority backgrounds. It's found since then there's only been good progress against one of the recommendations. For the first time since comparable records began in the late 1980s, inflation hit 0% last month. It means the cost of living hasn't got any more expensive in the last year. And UEFA President Michel Platini has been re-elected as the head of European football's governing body. It will be his third four-year term. That's the latest. I'm Tom Harrigan.
You're listening to Mads and Chris, live and online on Duck Island Radio.
Hello, this is Live and Online with your hosts, Mads and Chris. Today we'll be talking all things internet. We've got an interview with Ben, the president of the Gaming Society, to see how the internet affects gaming.
BBC Three announced it's going online, which is something we'd love to hear your thoughts on. Do you like the idea of it being online, or would you rather it stayed on our TVs? Get in touch with us via Twitter, which is at Live and Online, or on our Facebook page, which is Live and Online.
Later we'll hear what YouTube star Jack Howard had to say about his internet fame. But first up, the internet isn't all sunshine and lollipops, as Betty found out when she investigated cyberbullying at university.
It's estimated that 5.43 million young people in the UK have experienced cyberbullying in some shape or form, and 1.26 million young people have been subjected to extreme cyberbullying on a daily basis. So I decided to head over to the Student Wellbeing Centre to find out more.
I'm Megan. I'm Disability Information Officer for the university. I work in the Student Wellbeing Centre. I graduated from uni about 3 years ago from the University of Surrey.
And so what does the Student Wellbeing Centre do?
We include the disability service, counselling service and chaplaincy. But we are just, if someone feels they are in trouble or they need help or anything like that, they can come to us first. And if we need to refer them to someone else, we can. But like I say, we mainly deal with disabilities, counselling and chaplaincy.
Do you think there is a problem with cyberbullying at the university from what you see?
I don't know if I can comment on the university in particular. I'm aware that cyberbullying is very big in the news at the moment and it being a problem because it's hard to control. From what I've seen in my time here, I've been here a year and a half, I haven't seen a huge amount of problems with cyberbullying, but obviously it doesn't necessarily, not everyone will come to us about it. I think that some people aren't aware that they can come to the university about it, so maybe that's why. But like I said, I don't know if there's a problem. Perhaps people don't know where to go if there is a problem.
With all the recent media attention on cyberbullying, such as Dan Howell's hashtag NicerInternet, we went to the students of the University of Lincoln to find out more. Do you think the internet is a safe place?
I definitely think it is not, but it has the potential to be safe if you know what you're doing and make sure you know what sort of sites you should avoid.
No, not at all. There's too many people who can have like a secret identity on it, so they can harass people. We won't get caught, so.
Difficult question. To people who aren't educated in the ways of the internet, I would say it is a very dangerous place. But once you've steeped that learning curve, it's fairly easy to navigate.
What can we do to make the internet a nicer place?
I suppose regulate better what sort of content is uploaded. I mean, it's a bit difficult, but like, if there was some sort of way to like immediately detect when someone's being malicious to someone, then that might make things easier.
You could probably try and have better regulation, but that's always difficult because of how sort of too big to actually regulate the internet.
I don't really because it's human nature, you can't really force them to be nice to people, but you can introduce programs to school.
The average age of a cyberbully is 9 years old. You are twice as likely to be cyberbullied via Facebook than any other social network.
The university is completely against bullying, of course. We take bullying very, very seriously. Cyberbullying in particular is part of our regulations. If you read up the university regulations, if someone has been bullied or feels like they've been bullied on the internet, they should come to the university and tell us, because there are things we can do. Depending on the severity of the bullying and things like that would depend on how much further we can go. Obviously, if there are very serious allegations on there, then we'd recommend people go to the police about it.
If you feel like you are a victim of cyberbullying, please visit the Student Wellbeing Centre to get help.
And if you don't feel comfortable with going to the Student Wellbeing Centre for help, we've compiled a list of other ways to seek help on our website, which is liveandonline.blogs.lincoln.ac.uk.
Now, on a lighter subject, we've got a song from Troy Savan, who's a lovely little YouTuber and has used the internet to achieve his goal of making music. Here's his song, Happy Little Pill.
Crowd alone, and every second passing reminds me I'm not home. Bright lights and city sounds are ringing like a drone. Unknown, unknown. All blazed eyes, empty hearts, buying happy from shopping carts. Nothing but time to kill, sipping life from bottles. Tight skin bodyguards, Gucci down the boulevard, cocaine dollar bills and my happy little pill. Take me away, dry my eyes, bring color to my skies, my sweet little pill. Like a rock afloat, sweating conversations seeping to my bone. Four walls are not enough, I'll take a dip into the unknown, unknown. Glazed eyes, empty hearts, buying happy from shopping carts. Nothing but time to kill, sipping life from bottles. Tight skin bodyguards, Gucci down the boulevard, cocaine dollar bills and my happy little pill. Take me away, dry my eyes, bring color to my skies, my sweet little pill. Empty hearts, buying happy from shopping carts. Nothing but time to kill, sipping life from bottles. Tight skin bodyguards.
You're listening to Duck Island Radio's Live and Online.
Soon we'll be hearing what Jack Howard had to say about internet fame and his advice, but first up we're talking to Ben from the Gaming Society.
Hello, Ben.
Hello.
So you're the president of the Gaming Society. What happens at the Gaming Society?
Well, mainly it's sort of a gathering of like-minded individuals. We set up sessions every Wednesday and Friday. We put on a different kind of theme or a tournament or a type of game. So nights are like Fight Night, where we'll have certain fighting themes, or recently we just had a Smash Brothers tournaments where we just play that one game but invite everyone to play it. So it's kind of like we set a platform for people who enjoy gaming, people who kind of need to find other people to play with and come together. We set up an area where they can play games they never played before, play games they're very used to, and just kind of have a good experience together. And then it obviously expands out of that. We come away from the site with more friends, more kind of gamers. It's nice to be in kind of the main strength of society being the fact that you're in a room with like-minded people, so you don't have to worry about annoying someone by being a right nerd, because you're in a room full of nerds. So it's all kind of, it's a very chill environment. I really think we've actually cracked onto something where people who, not necessarily the most social kind of people, can find a place to kind of start coming out of the shell and kind of experience uni a bit bigger and better than what they normally would without us.
And talking about people in the room, would you say you've got a lot of members?
Yeah, I think we're capping 132 right about now. It's the most we've ever had. Again, this year has kind of been a landmark year for us. We've revamped the entire system. We've raised £1,000 for charity. We've had multiple events, something that the other councils and other years of society haven't quite achieved with us. So we've kind of took the risk, took ourselves on board, and tried to push the society into kind of new heights, new kind of realms that we've never experienced before. And we're at a place now where I think we are the best we've ever been, and I'm not running next year, which is our elections. I just can't wait to see what the next council do with us and try and like what they do to beat our year, because it would be absolutely fantastic if they can just do better than us.
Is the internet a big part of gaming and connecting with other gamers?
I'd say, and currently, yeah, definitely. The kind of experiences you have with like now Xbox Live, PSN, the kind of ability to play with people from different countries, different walks of life, it's really liberating in terms of how you interact, because there is a stereotype of people online just, you know, bad mouth, say really bad things to people they've never heard of, never meet again. But I've kind of had the experience where I've not just met people but befriended people online. I've had people from Norway and Holland that I found who got to the point of knowing them for so many years, they've actually came down to England and we've met them and visited them. So it's a kind of case of where it's opened up new doors for people who haven't necessarily had the chance to meet people. You can actually make friends with someone 500 miles away, and it's, you know, there's just as much as friend as gym next door. It's kind of that kind of device opening doors for people who not necessarily know how to open them. And in terms of actually gaming, though, it opens absolutely new, endless possibilities for us, because, again, you've got the Xbox Live, which allows you to play with people from everywhere and anywhere, but it also expands on, like, what you can do with games and what the resources of games are. The internet's like responsible for making Unity games become such a big thing, because people have the resources and kind of grasp to grab what they need from the internet. It's not just a case of you can play with other people, it's because you've got an entire library of experience to draw into and a library of knowledge you can actually put into making games and developing games. So I think it's kind of been the tool gaming's kind of needed to start pushing itself. I mean, we've seen games like League of Legends that push the esports boundaries to something bigger and better.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Thank you for joining us. To hear details of that, head over to our website, which is liveandonline.blogs.lincoln.ac.uk.
Up next, our reporters Jamie and Jamie have gone out to ask you your opinions on the internet and social media, plus an interview with the Radio 1 presenter and YouTuber Jack Howard.
You've got millions of fans following your every move. There's hundreds of thousands of pounds in your bank account. Sponsors are queuing up to work with you. You get mobbed at live events and you're not even out of your early 20s. But you're not playing football. You're not playing a lead role in a blockbuster film. Not even playing the main stage at a music festival.
Thank you!
You're a YouTuber. Nowadays, young people are finding it easier to jumpstart their career by using the internet, more specifically social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, to help maximize their success. We'll be speaking to you, the listeners of Duck Island Radio, when we sent our outside broadcaster out to speak to you in and around Lincoln to find out what you have to say about the internet. We'll also have an interview with Radio 1 host, director, and popular YouTuber Jack Howard.
only with your consent.
In this show, we'll be asking how the internet can be used as a tool for anyone to maximize their success. Recently, it was found that the internet is used by more than 36 million people a day in the UK, and that the average person spends 7 hours a day on the internet. With facts like that, it can seem like the internet is an incredibly positive device due to the popularity. We spoke to the public of Lincoln this week to see what views you have on the internet and social media, both good and bad.
I think internet is very useful for people wanting to start up businesses. It makes others aware of their business and spread that awareness to other people. Also, your reputation can also be boosted, I suppose.
Good and bad. It's like most things, use and abuse.
Arguably, most businesses, and certainly big businesses, use the internet, I think, in a immoral and unethical way, is a form of kind of mild brainwashing as a way in which to force us culturally, socially, personally to behave in the ways that suits them in order to develop their businesses and make profit.
We caught up with Radio 1 host and YouTuber Jack Howard recently when he was giving a speech at the University of Lincoln about the success of his career. We asked Jack about how the internet was used to help him and if he thinks social media harms or fuels our society.
I wouldn't have a career without the internet. That's essentially it summed up. I think that the ability to be able to kind of put stuff online and... kind of find an audience organically, like that's kind of helped me kind of get jobs elsewhere. So like with Radio 1, I would have never been approached by them if I didn't have the already existing audience because of the content I created by myself. So without it, like I would be, I don't know, in Tesco somewhere, just serving people or something, I don't know. Like, not that's a bad job to have, but maybe some people are on the internet trying to get better at getting a Tesco job. That's not me, that's not for me. I think it is a good thing because I believe in free speech. I just think that there are some stupid people that are going to do stuff and there's nothing we can do about that because stupid people exist with or without the internet. It's just that now they have a voice. And I think I just believe in the sort of just because you can say something doesn't mean you should.
To find out more about how Jack Howard has used the internet for his success, go to our website, www.liveandonline.blogs.lincoln.ac.uk. Following from that is Jack Howard's very own song, Here's Consent.
I am sitting in the club. I feel it's not hot enough until you walk in. It's like, oh my God. Then again, I don't believe in God. I believe in you, and that's the truth. I want to get close to you and get all up inside your space.
Whoa there, what are you doing? You don't even know this woman. She's a fine young thing. She don't need grooming. She's a human being. She's got a brain. And remembers everything you say, which reminds me, hi, sorry to talk about you. Anyway, Jabby got things to do.
Women?
No, that's what I'm trying to say. Let's let this out to the right extent.
This guy wants you, but only with your consent. Only with your consent.
If you've got the time to make those kind of moves, then make it right. What have you got to lose?
So let's lay things down, clear and stable. This ain't no game, this ain't no fable.
This is a story about two individuals. Communications grew, they became a sort of ritual. One of them decided to change their mind.
And just to clarify, that's completely fine.
Cause no means no.
Yes, no.
Yes, no.
Yes, I get it now.
It works
only with your consent. Only with your consent.
Working in a pool of sweat, a cautionary tale that I won't forget. It's blown my mind, this moral's tight.
Now's the time to set things right. Turn a new page from the sexist rage.
It just shouldn't happen in this day and age.
So next time I see a girl, I'll be true.
And if I'm feeling brave, I might try a guy too.
What?
Never mind. I feel like I've learned something.
Oh yeah? Well, do you want to apply what you've learned?
Not really. Not tonight. Can't be bothered.
What do you want to do then?
Just want to have some fun.
I got us a guitar solo.
Oh, how much?
£12.
Only with your consent. Only with your consent. Only with your consent. This guy wants you, but only with your consent.
That was Jack Howard and Dean Dobb with their song, Consent.
Earlier we mentioned that BBC Three is moving its content online, and now we have our reporter Michael, who's on the line with a journalism student. Michael, are you there?
Hi Madeline, I'm here down with Jos Dixon in the halls of the University of Lincoln, and we're talking all about BBC Three. So first Jos, tell me a bit about some relevant things you do that make you knowledgeable on this subject.
Well, I'm a journalism student, and I've, at the moment I'm doing some work experience at the BBC Radio Lincolnshire. So I feel that I'm getting a bit of an insight into how that kind of how they kind of work as an organisation, and what it's like working in one of the areas where it's maybe not kind of the bigger, well known, where it's like hyper local, and it's a smaller operation in a way, in a similar manner to BBC Three. It's a lot more specific, and I do a lot of online production stuff, so I understand the relationship between broadcast and online.
Right, fantastic. Thank you for giving us your time. Based on the programming BBC Three puts out, would you say you were in its core demographic?
Yeah, I would. I mean, like I say, from what I've learned about the BBC, I understand they focus around my kind of age group. You know, I kind of, in like evenings or whatever, I enjoy watching a bit of Family Guy, something like that. I know they've got kind of a lot of their reality shows that are kind of age around my age group. So, yeah, I would say I'm definitely in the heart of the demographic in a way.
So would you say that you watch BBC very often?
Yeah, I do. To be fair, it's not in a kind of structured way. It's more something I enjoy from a casual perspective. Like, I might just sit down in the evening, put the TV on. If there's something good on BBC Three, I'll watch that. Like BBC One, I'd probably go to for something like the news. However, if there's a big kind of pressing issue, from a news perspective, I wouldn't really use BBC Three because I know that they do kind of short bursts of news. They do like the 60-second kind of format. But yeah, it's something I watch from time to time. Not, like I say, not a lot, but sometimes.
So I'm guessing that you know about the BBC Three situation. Can you tell us when you first heard about this?
Well, I can't remember exactly. I remember it's like a little while ago, enough that it has been an ongoing thing. I'm surprised when it's becoming that it's still kind of ongoing as much as it is. But for me, it was something I mainly noticed through social media, actually. Obviously, kind of a lot of the social media campaigns and stuff to say BBC Three. So I've been aware about it for a while. But mainly through Facebook, Twitter and that sort of thing.
The important question, then, what's your opinion on the whole BBC Three affair?
I think it's quite a real shame, to be honest, that they've had to, because of these cuts, they've had to lose a channel. Especially one that I think probably helps to engage younger viewers with BBC Three. They've got BBC Four, but that's for an entirely different demographic. It's a shame to see it go, but I think it's good that they're not just completely losing it entirely. They're taking advantage of a modern format.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us, Jos. And right now, it's back to the studio.
Michael, thanks for that, Michael. Following from that, a lot of what we watch nowadays is online. We're spoilt by websites such as Netflix and Amazon Prime. And as mentioned, BBC Three recently announced that it was moving its content online rather than to be on our TVs. But is that what the public wants? Myself and Chris have this report. The
The internet has come a long way from dial-up. Over recent years, the entertainment industry has been going through changes. With the rise in websites such as Netflix and Amazon Prime, television programmes and films can be accessed instantly on your computer, tablet, or even mobile phone with just a couple of clicks. Is this the new age of television? Or merely a different platform for people to access the content?
I barely ever watch live television. It's because with live television, you always get adverts, whereas Netflix, there's no adverts at all, and you can just see every episode without having to wait like a week to see the next one.
This internet format is so accessible that even the established, well-known television channels have taken to it, each having their own personal online iPlayer for viewers to catch up on shows they may have missed. But the BBC have done more than just dip a toe into the pool of internet content. They've announced that they are planning to move the entire BBC Three channel online, showing their full confidence in that format. But is it a gamble too far? We went to the public to find out.
My first reaction would be that it reaches a wider audience actually on the television, but I can't actually say that I'm sure about that because a lot of people access television through the internet, don't they now?
I actually don't watch television that often. I think it's just easier to access online.
I prefer watching stuff online because then I don't have to watch and listen to adverts.
I'd rather keep BBC Three as is because, you know, 7 o'clock, there's nothing on, Top Gear.
We spoke to Neil Kendall, a TV tutor at the University of Lincoln, about the shift from traditional TV to online content. What impacts are online services such as Netflix having on television?
I think it's a very generational thing, and also, frankly, depends on the region of the country or the place in the country you're in. I think for sort of people of your age group, younger generation, who are very used to watching TV on the move, downloading onto laptops, things like that, it's the way you watch television, and therefore it's opened up a whole new way of seeing things, and it would be ridiculous to be opposed to it because the technology exists, so you go with it. I think for older generations, they will still stick to the traditional way of viewing.
Do you think BBC moving online is a good thing?
I think it would be nice if it was available to both. There seem to be some slightly strange decisions going on. I'm not quite sure they know where they are as a corporation facing up to this current era. I think they will find that they will lose quite a lot of the BBC Three audience.
Do you think traditional TV is going obsolete?
Absolutely not. In my lifetime, that has been said so many times, and even before that, you know, the TV is dead. It's like people sort of said the same with the film industry. As soon as TV came along, they said film is dead, and that's never proved to be the case. You'll get peaks and troughs. I still think the important thing about a TV, particularly once you start becoming older and aren't viewing stuff on the move so much, is it becomes that sort of symbolic campfire to gather around or a hearth. And I think what TV likes and does really well still is that sort of event coverage, event television. And that will stay.
So it looks like TV is sticking around and Netflix is just a fun addition. The general consensus seems to be that we want BBC Three to stay on our tellies, but who knows what the future will hold. So should BBC Three go exclusively online? Get in touch with us via our Twitter, which is @LiveAndOnline, or our Facebook page, which is LiveAndOnline. All the details are on our website.
You're listening to Mads and Chris, live and online on Duck Island Radio.
Now, we've got some Facebook comments and tweets that you guys have sent. Becky says, Jack Howard is awesome. So glad you played Consent 2. Not only a good tune, but also a fab message. Thank you for sending that, Becky.
Really is a fabulous message. On Twitter, @RadicalTurtle7 said, OMG, I love Jack Howard. #fave YouTuber.
We're getting quite a lot of
Jack Howard.
Like. Yeah, people love Jack Howard. Yeah. They love him. Jack is a huge inspiration for me, so glad you got him an interview, said @ChangeTheMachine.
I really love him. @ExplosiveBunny said, I love the freedom Netflix gives us. Well, thanks for that. I love it too.
I think Netflix does give people a lot of freedom. It's like you can choose what you want to watch, when you want to watch it. @GotFan_1 said, I'm going to be very sad if BBC Three gets off our tellies. It's one of my favourite channels. I think I would have to agree with you there. Yeah. I used to love BBC Three. They used to play reruns of Doctor Who, like, all the time. And that's all I did as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, it was really good. And @PickledBanana32 agrees, saying BBC Three has played some of my favourite shows. It will be sad to see it go. Hashtag will BBC missed.
Oh, that's a good hashtag. That is a really good hashtag. Oh. I'm liking that. Mm. Anyway, so that is all we've got time for today. Chris, have you had a good time?
I've had a good time, Madeline.
Thank you for listening. We may not be on air, but we are still live and online on our website, which is linkandonline.lincoln.ac.uk.